We've been telling the story of the Bible, the story of Scripture, the story of God's plan for all of us throughout these weeks that will lead us all the way up almost to Thanksgiving. We're calling it the story. Matter of fact, we're reading out of a special edition of Scripture called the Story Bible. Many of you have one of these in your hand. If you don't, it's not too late to purchase one. They're only $5. We have a very attractive pricing with the publisher, Zondervan Publishing House. This is simply a set of scriptures. It's not every verse of the Bible, but it takes the Bible story in chronological order. Most of the words are there. Where the words are not there, there is a brief summary. But we're taking it a chapter at a time. So our Bible readings throughout these weeks have been not just on specific passages, but one of the chapters that you will find in that edition of the Bible called the Story Bible. We've made it to the point in the story of God's love where most people give up on their Bible reading. And I would encourage you to hang in there. Don't give up. This is a portion of the Old Testament where the names can get very confusing. You've got kings, you've got kingdoms, you've got all kinds of things going on. And what I wanted to do this morning was to focus upon the passage of the chapter that we read this week and single out one story from that massive amount of material. It's one that comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, and it involves a man named Naaman. Now, we've been talking about this story of God's plan for us, and we've been looking at it from two different angles. We talk about a lower story. The lower story is that which is what's happening on the pages of Scripture. It's what happens when you and I get up every day and we go to work. Okay. Caller ID says God. I'm going to send him to voicemail. Okay. This lower story is one where we're talking about what we do day in and day out. We get up, we go to work, we get married, we get a new job, we consider what we're going to do, we go through life. That's the lower story. And the lower story is told throughout Scripture. It's what we're going to look at today. We're going to walk through the events in the life of this man named Naaman. But part of that lower story is the part that gets confusing to many people. You remember after King David, there was King Solomon. And after King Solomon, there was this civil war amongst the nation, and they split into two. You have a divided kingdom. It's the north and the south. And this happened approximately 930 BC. The north kingdom of Israel is going to be called Israel. This is where it gets even more confusing. The North Kingdom is going to be designated as Israel, and we know from history that it lasted until 722 BC when it fell to the Assyrian Empire. So when they divided in 930, the North Kingdom, known as Israel, fell in 722. The South Kingdom, known as Judah from this point on, its capital was in Jerusalem. The South Kingdom lasted another 130 years after the North Kingdom, and it fell in 586 BC to the Empire of Babylon. This is where the long name Nebuchadnezzar may connect with many of you. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, destroyed Jerusalem and kidnapped Daniel and his friends. And that's later on in the story. That's going to be another chapter that we cover. But in this section this week, the prophets, the people, the servants of God, basically are two guys, and their names are very similar in their pronunciation. Elijah and Elisha. You've heard those names before. The books of history that cover their portion would be 1 and 2 Kings. So there we have this lower story history going on. And this all began back in the Garden of Eden. They've already gone through the Exodus. They've already made it to where they have their own, they conquered the land of promise. They demanded a king. God gave them a king. And now after Solomon, the kingdom's divided north and south. And this period of time we're looking at now is during that period when the north kingdom of Israel It's capital in Samaria. God sent prophets like Elijah and Elisha to minister to them. And the story today concerns Elisha. He followed Elijah. But Elisha, the prophet, has an encounter with this man named Naaman, who the Bible tells us was a general in the army. The country is called Aram, A-R-A-M. It is modern day Syria. Naaman was a Syrian general, but Naaman, the scripture tells us in 2 Kings 5:1, also had a problem. He was a leper. 2 Kings 5:1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper." There you have it. Lower story now. You have a man, a Syrian general, very well respected, but he has a huge issue, a health issue. He's a leper. That word leper in the Old Testament could have been any range of diseases, most of which would have been incurable. Leprosy exists in some portions of the world today, but in this day and time, as well as in the New Testament, leprosy was basically a death sentence. Well, the story continues in the scripture. Naaman is indeed identified as a high-ranking official. He's identified also as a man who's condemned as a leper, but he receives help from an unexpected source. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, where the narrative continues and says, "Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'I wish that my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy.'" Now the story continues. A young unnamed girl who is an Israeli, is from the land of Israel, is kidnapped, taken by the Arameans. She serves in Naaman's house. And this young girl sees her master, that's who she calls Naaman, sees him with this tremendous condemnation of leprosy upon his life. And she connects the fact that the prophet that she knows, that being Elisha, who was in Samaria, that perhaps he could render help and render aid. Very interesting how the lower story continues to develop. Because following that, the narrative tells us that Naaman seeks to arrange a miracle. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Naaman went in and told his master, saying..." This is God again. Sending a voicemail. Besides, I'm doing his work. I don't have time to talk to him. I'm doing his work. "Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Aram said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' He departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of leprosy.'" Interesting, the lower story here, the narrative. Naaman is identified, a very prominent general in the Syrian army, but he's condemned with leprosy. He has a chance encounter with a young servant girl who serves in his own house, and she, coming from the land of Israel, connects him to an unnamed, at this moment, prophet. We know he's Elisha, saying, "If you could just get to him, then something could happen." And then we see Naaman trying to take things into his own hands. He's trying to arrange this trip. He's trying to arrange for this healing. He's trying to arrange for this miracle. Who can doubt him? Who can condemn him for this? But the narrative continues. That letter was given to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel immediately was taken aback and thought it was a trick. And he immediately sent him to face Elisha the prophet. This is what Naaman wanted all along. But as the lower story continues, look what it says. The way I looked at it is Naaman resisted the simple request that Elisha made of him. The Bible says, "So Naaman came with his horses, his chariots. He stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean.' Naaman was furious. He went away and he said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and he went away in a rage." Interesting lower story. Naaman, the esteemed general who was a leper, with a connection to a servant girl in his house who knew Elisha, trying to arrange for this miracle, this healing to happen. And then when he is put face to face with the man that he sought for healing, Elisha gives to him a simple directive, and Naaman rejects it because it was beneath him to wash in the river of death, as they called it back then, the Jordan River. He had cleaner rivers where he came from, to the north and to the east. Naaman in a stew, Naaman wanting so desperately to be cured, misses the point. Well, in the lower story, one of the attendants to Naaman gives him a word of advice, and thankfully, Naaman listens to it. It says in 2 Kings 5:13, "Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" And then the 14th verse tells us that Naaman took that advice and he was saved, he was healed. For it says in 2 Kings 5:14, "So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." That's the lower story. The story of a general, esteemed and powerful, but condemned with a deadly disease. A chain of events that happened just over the span of a few days. An unlikely connection with an unnamed servant girl in his house who directed him to a prophet named Elisha. But in the midst, trying to solve it himself, when he comes to Elisha, is offended and turns away in a rage. But then taking on the advice and taking to heart the advice of someone who traveled with him, someone who served him, who simply reminded him that all he was asked to do was to simply go wash in the Jordan River. And the miracle, the healing, occurred. What a lower story. But you know, there is a upper story that parallels the lower story. We've seen that all the way through. That in everything God is doing in the here and now. Okay, if you don't mind, just give me a second. I better take this. Yes, sir. Okay. Didn't mean to put you on hold. I've got it. Yes, right now. I will not delay. I'll never put you on voicemail again. Thank you. That was God. He suggested that, well, he gave me an ending for the upper story today. See, I didn't have one. I knew there was an upper story, but I couldn't quite come up with it all this week while I was planning. I thought it would just come, but he was calling me, and as he said, the third time is usually a charm. Don't let it happen again. He gave me the upper story to pass along to you this morning. And I think since it was God who created it all, we do best to listen to his upper story. Would you agree? Good. Because here it is. He just instructed me to remind all of us that this upper story is a perfect picture of his plan. You see, there are some times in the Bible when you can take a story, you can take a lower story, and sometimes we don't do it justice because we take it out of its context and we all of a sudden spiritualize it. You ever notice people doing that? And sometimes we miss the point because we're so busy trying to draw some parallel or some eternal truth that we totally forget what happened and we just start up here and we start spiritualizing and making all these grand statements. But God said, this is the perfect place to take the lower story and to see how it parallels each one of us. In other words, God said each one of us can see Naaman in our lives. Because what this story does, and it actually happened, there was a real man named Naaman. There was a real miracle that occurred. But we see a perfect parallel to what happens when we understand and know that we have an issue that we can't solve, and it's called sin. That our problem is basically sin, and we reject God's help. Just like Naaman had a problem called leprosy that he couldn't take care of himself. But when he was directed to the one source where it could be solved, where he could be cleansed, he rejected at first the help of Elisha. He was offended. And you see the perfect parallel to the simple fact that so many of us, when we understand and know that we have an issue called sin and we can't take care of it ourselves, it doesn't stop us from trying to what? From trying to arrange our own salvation. From trying to buy it. From trying to earn it. How many times have people in our day and age sought to appease God, thinking that they could earn their way to salvation, just like Naaman thought he could bring enough money to Israel, that he could provide enough change of clothes, that he could bring enough gifts and somehow or a way arrange his own salvation, arrange his own healing? But God reminded me, it's the point that I totally forgot, is that the solution is what it's been through every chapter. It's always the same. It's obedient faith. That Naaman was not healed until he what? Until he went to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. Until he was willing to obey the word of the prophet. In this case, Elisha. In our case, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That upper story that parallels the lower story of a man who was stricken with leprosy, who tried his best, who thought he could buy it, who thought he could earn it, who was offended when he was given an opportunity to make it right. And the simple fact that Naaman was healed when he exercised what? Obedient faith. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, sometimes God may have to use something like this if he can't get through here. That was my problem this week. I just simply didn't know he knew my cell number. Obedient faith. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, to call upon your name, to know that you hear us when we pray. Help us in these moments of invitation and commitment to respond just as Naaman did, with obedient faith. In Christ's name, I pray this prayer. Amen. We conclude our service this morning with an opportunity for you and me to make choices. You see, this is the way we see it. God speaks, and he gives us opportunities to respond. It's my prayer that in this hour, you have felt his presence. He has spoken to you. And because of that, we offer a time of commitment. We're going to sing a concluding song of commitment. And there are going to be ministers and deacons standing here across the front to accept people making public spiritual decisions. Why would you need to make a choice public today? Well, maybe you're here today and you have never said yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life, that he died upon a cross. And though that wasn't part of this story today, it is where the story is leading us, we know. Maybe you have yet to realize that you can't buy salvation. You can't earn it. Maybe you're offended when people tell you that it's simply a matter of turning away from sin and asking Christ to forgive you and to fill you with his Spirit. Maybe that's just too strange for you. I would urge you to exercise obedient faith today and to realize that it is that simple a choice. It's asking the Lord Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sin. If that's a choice you want to make today, or you want more help in learning how to make that choice, we ask you to come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. Maybe you're here today and this is where God wants you to plug in. This is the church where he wants you to belong, to serve, becoming an official member of our church. We're not the only church around here. Great churches in this area. But the point is, you need to find the one where you can plug in, not just attend, but where you can plug in and serve. So we offer that to you. How do you join our church? You come forward. We present you. We receive you. We ask you to step out if that's what God is wanting you to do as a believer in him, in finding a place of service. And maybe your issue, the issue that Naaman had of leprosy, of salvation, maybe there is some touch point of obedience where you're having a hard time. Maybe there's something that's between you and God. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're trying to fight your way out of it. You're offended by what you know you need to do. Well, I just want to ask you to stop, look, and listen to this man's testimony. And maybe what you need today is just a recommitment, an act of obedient faith in your life. Maybe you just need prayer. Ray and Sandy will be on either side of this room. Lon will be up in the balcony. These people love to pray, and they'd love to pray with you and for you. That is our invitation. We stand. We ask you to step out as we sing. Come forward right now.